Back in the day, insurance agents visited with their clients around the kitchen table to collect premiums and discuss coverage. Nowadays, people are more concerned with convenience and price without really understanding what they're purchasing. Our goal for each show is to bring some of that kitchen table conversation back in order to help our listeners understand their coverage and how it relates to their particular situation. We would like to mention that every insurance company is a little different as far as their policies and coverage. Please contact your insurance company for more information on your particular situation. And now, let's talk insurance. Hello, and welcome once again to Let's Talk Insurance, a weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. I am Matt, and we are from Marsilia and Vanderplow Insurance Agency, located in beautiful downtown Holland, Michigan. If you're anywhere on the Lake Michigan Lakeshore, give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. Visit us on the web. If you're on a smartphone or tablet, you can go to m.hollandshometownagency.com. If you're on a regular desktop, you can go to mvpinsure.us. Again, that's mvpinsure.us. If you want to shoot us an email too, you can do that. marsiliains@gmail.com. That's marsiliains@gmail.com. We're always on the lookout for new topics. And again, I'm still collecting stories for our Weird Claims podcast. If you happen to have a weird claim that was paid for or not paid for by your insurance carrier, shoot us an email. Let us know about it. No names are going to be used, totally anonymous. But I would like to put together a podcast probably by the end of summer. I want to give time for our listeners to chime in with their stories. I've got a few. A friend of mine who is a former insurance agent, she's had a few that she shared with me. So I want to put those together into a little podcast about weird claims, it's got to be paid claims. Let's do it that way, paid claims. Stuff that you wouldn't think would be covered that was covered. Kind of like the new farmers insurance commercials. If you've seen those, they're a little museum with a different, you know, the dog with a pizza, the, what was the most recent one? It was had to do with open sunroof with a wave totally submerging the car. Those are actual claims, and I do not doubt that those things happened. I want to do something similar with actual claims that have happened. Yeah, I'm kind of ripping off farmers, but what are you going to do? So if you have an idea, or not an idea, if you had a claim that was paid that you thought that there was no way the insurance company was going to cover this, or you were surprised at how they did cover it, let us know. At the end of summer, I want to put together a weird claims podcast for everybody to enjoy. All right, with that said, this week I wanted to talk a little bit about campers and motorhomes. If you're, summer is here, whether you like it or not. Great time for families to get out and do some traveling, do some camping. A lot of people do have motorhomes that they take out about this time of year. Same with the travel trailer. And I'm going to share with you some tips that I've gotten from a website. If you're a beginner to the RV craze, and I don't know if it's craze, but RV phenomenon, I suppose. There's some tips that I found from Reserve America. Six tips for RV beginners. And also wanted to share one of our carriers, Safeco Insurance Company, has some additional coverages if you have a motorhome or a camper. You can, here in the state of Michigan and in a lot of places, you can, you've got several options as far as your motorhome, covering your motorhome or your camper or travel trailer. First one is you could put it on a regular auto policy. Motorhome would go on an auto policy, a travel trailer or a camper, fifth wheel, that would be eligible to go on an auto policy. Another option is to put these items on your homeowners. There are some homeowners insurance carriers that will allow a motorhome to be placed on a homeowner's policy. You want to check with your homeowner's insurance carrier to make sure most carriers will allow a fifth wheel, travel trailer, camper trailer, pop-up, that kind of stuff. I believe even in some cases a truck camper, you know, one of those slide-in campers can be allowed on a homeowner's policy. Again, you want to check with your particular insurance carrier to see how they would cover such things. But when it comes to the additional coverages that you can get by placing it on an RV policy, you may find yourself it would be better off doing it that way. You do save some money by putting it on a homeowner's or adding it to your auto policy because, you know, those policies would get some additional discounts. Like on a homeowner's, if you add a fifth wheel to your homeowner's policy, it would get additional discounts that it wouldn't get on a standard RV policy. So stuff like a longevity credit, security credit, loss-free discount. There's a couple others that an RV wouldn't normally qualify for on a standalone policy. That it would qualify for on a homeowner's. And same with the auto policy. There are things on the auto policy discounts that are available that a RV policy may not qualify for. Now, you need to take a look at the savings that you would get by placing it on an auto policy or a homeowner's policy versus a standalone RV policy. The savings versus the coverages that you would get on a standalone RV policy versus going the other two routes. So why don't we go ahead and dive in to this article here. Six quick tips for RV beginners. And this is by Jessica Sanders over at RVReserveAmerica.com. We have no affiliation with them. I assume that this is Reserve America is a place where you can reserve a campsite or something like that, looks like. And there's software and you can get hunting and fishing licenses and stuff like that. So we don't know. I mean, we're not getting paid by Reserve America. It's just an article that I wanted to share from their website. And it says here, whether you're a family of weekend campers or a retired couple looking to travel full-time, every RV beginner has to know a few important things before making the maiden voyage. Here are six quick tips to consider before you pile in and head out. Tip number one, decide whether to buy or rent. I don't know about you, but we just recently had a camping RV show, you know, big show at the local arena in Grand Rapids. You know, that's where they set up the campfires, you know, and show you all the wonderful new things that you can get with campers these days, campers and motorhomes. You know, lots of information. I just saw an ad last week from an RV dealership that is trying to blow out their 2016 models and 2017 models to get ready for the 2018 models that are coming in. So if you can go in now, you can get, you know, so much off, or you can get like 0% financing, you know, different financing packages and stuff like that to check out. So I'm sure you've seen those. I personally am kind of interested in a travel trailer or something like that, you know, being out camping in the woods. It's just something about it. You know, even at a campground, you're out away from the hustle and bustle of your job, you know, at home. For the most part, you're away from electronics, I would hope. Just the time to, like, unplug, go fishing, go swimming, sit around a campfire, make s'mores, you know, just enjoy conversations and stuff like that. That's what's really appealing to me when it comes to camping. But it says here, tip number one, decide whether to buy or rent. This isn't always an easy decision with pros and cons for both. However, when you consider a few key factors, the answer becomes clear. Buy. This is what you consider, what to consider when you buy. It says you plan to go RV camping often or full time, and you have storage for the times when you aren't traveling. I've got several insureds that they bought a fifth wheel travel trailer, a motorhome, and they use it quite a bit during the summer. And they do have a facility that they use to park their travel trailer or motorhome during the winter when they're not. I had one insured that was going to be a full-timer, went out and spent $200,000 on a motorhome. And that's one of those motorhomes that you would see, you know, like a celebrity or, you know, like a band, you know, like a really popular band going from city to city, traveling in a, you know, a motorhome, or, you know, like pretty much a luxury bus almost. But yeah, that's the kind of camper, motorhome that he purchased. He had purchased a lot in Florida, and I believe there was a lot in Arizona. So he would be spending, you know, some of the time in Arizona, some of the time in Florida, and of course some of the time here in Michigan. But camping life or RV life just wasn't for him. After a couple of years, he ended up selling the motorhome. I think he ended up selling it for like $125,000 or something like that. He ended up losing money on the deal. But he just wasn't sure that, you know, obviously after a couple of years, he decided that it wasn't for him. He had mentioned that the cost just to get it roadworthy after the winter was between $2,000 and $5,000, depending on, you know, what was wrong with it after it was sitting in storage for 6 months. It was just he said it got to be cost prohibitive, and he really didn't care for the RV life, which is fine. There are some people that are like nomads that enjoy traveling from place to place and town to town and being on new adventures every day. And there are other people that, you know, like to go out on a weekend and just enjoy being outdoors, but then love coming home and being able to live at home. So if you're planning on camping often, maybe you want to be a full-timer, and you have room to store it or an ability to store it, maybe buying an RV is for you. It says here, rent, you plan to go on a single trip or want to test the waters before making a purchase, that's the best time to rent. So I know you've seen them on the road. I've seen them on the road too, those RV for rent things. They got, I can't remember what the web address is, but there's a web address on the side of it, and it's like all, it's got the vehicle wrap on it that, you know, go RVing or something, and it has some sort of rentarv.com. I don't know what the web address is, but you've seen those, and so you can rent them. It is possible. Keep in mind though that if you do rent a camper trailer or travel trailer or motorhome, that most likely your auto insurance or homeowner's insurance will not cover that because it is a rental. So you're going to have to purchase the insurance from the purveyor of the RV rental. And I'm sure that they have an insurance policies in place where you pay, you know, whatever. Just like with renting a car, you have the option of purchasing insurance. And I would imagine that the RV rental world has the same type of thing. Same thing with storage unit rentals. You know, if you don't have a homeowner's policy or your tenant's policy won't cover a storage facility for your stuff, that you can purchase a policy from the storage facility. So same type of deal. Definitely cheaper to test the waters with a rental to see if you're going to like it. Versus, you know, shelling out the money and then finding out after a year that it really wasn't for you and having to take a loss on selling it. So, yeah, renting is definitely an option if you're just testing the waters or you just want to go on one trip during the summer. It'd be a lot cheaper that way. Tip two, it says here, get to know your RV. With little road experience, it's especially important that RV beginners take time to learn how the motorhome works. Even if it's just a rental, if something breaks, you should be able to assess the problem and potentially fix it. This saves time and money spent at a mechanic. When you get to know your RV, you're less likely to make operational errors. For example, if you don't know how many amps your main breaker can handle, there's a good chance you'll blow it. This is a potentially expensive error that can be avoided by getting to know your rig. Yeah. Read the manuals. Do your online research. I think these days it's a lot easier to get information that you need regarding different aspects of life. You know, you got lifehacker.com that has a bunch of tips on, you know, how to improve your life through different areas. YouTube has a ton of videos. I've used YouTube to replace headlights, to fix shifters, that kind of thing. I mean, you go on YouTube and you need to know how to install something, just type in computer video card install and put the name of the video card, and I'm sure a video will come up on YouTube on how to do it. Just tons of information out there, but certainly read your manual. Visit some of the groups for the particular website, or for the particular model of motorhome or travel trailer. There are groups out there that are dedicated to certain makes of RVs and models of RVs. So get in with those. Check those out. They may have tips and information that aren't available in manuals or in other guides. People that have practical tips. They've dealt with that particular model, so they know maybe there's something wrong in the manual. You know, the manual says XYZ, and come to find out that it's actually ABC. So definitely take your time to learn a little bit more about your travel trailer, about your motorhome, about your camper trailer. Tip number three, take a practice drive. Consider the roads you plan to drive on and take a smaller trip on a similar terrain as an RV beginner. You don't yet know what will move around in the living area or how hard it will be to switch lanes, ascend hills, and park. Once you know the intricacies of driving an RV, you can make necessary adjustments. For example, if your drawers pop open, which they often do, you need to find a way to keep them shut. And again, by visiting those RV groups, they will have tips on what to do to keep everything secured while you're driving. Maybe tips on taking on hills, different things. So do your information and certainly take a practice drive if it's your first time in an RV, so you know what to expect when it comes to driving. You're going to have to make some big adjustments. Say you currently drive a Honda Civic and then get behind the wheel of a big old motorhome. This is going to be a huge learning curve that you're going to have to follow in order to operate the motorhome safely. So be sure to take time, practice, so that you can be safe, so that you can make sure that others are safe on the roads when you're driving. Tip number four, it says bring tools and spare parts. Pack a well-stocked toolkit and add in the things that your RV might need as extra fuses, light bulbs, jumper cables, nuts, bolts, and connectors. In addition, be sure to bring parts that are unique to your rig. Without these, you'll risk having to wait for that part to be ordered and shipped. So I would imagine that would be the smaller parts that tend to wear out, or you know, something happened to them that you would need with you. I can't think offhand of because I'm not an RV person. Can't think offhand of what parts you may need to keep on hand. But again, you visit the RV groups, you do your research on the internet. It should let you know, hey, if you're going out at this type of RV, this is what should be in your toolbox just in case. You know, people can give their tips as far as, hey, you know, we've been out RVing several times, and it seems like this particular part wears out faster than the others, so you may want to have a couple of these types of parts on hand in case. So Certainly, again, I hate to keep coming back to this, but do your research when you're using an RV, whether it's a camper trailer, travel trailer, fifth wheel, camper slide-in, or motorhome. It would be really helpful. Tip number five, it says don't wing it. The urge is to be spontaneous. It's tempting when your home is on wheels. Beckley's RVs is empathetic. There's a certain pleasure in going where you want, when you want. Still, they recommend you have a plan. It does help, however, to have a solid plan in place if it's your first time planning an RV trip. And they have some tips here on planning an RV trip. When RVing, plan the budget. How much you can allocate for food, fun, and overnight stays, your food supply to buy and eat out, the route, the one you plan to take, and alternate options, stops, the places you want to see along the way, campgrounds, where along the route you plan to call it a night. And then to go along with that, tip six here, it says create a campground setup checklist. As an RV beginner, you might not have a campground routine yet, therefore having a checklist will ensure everything is set up as it should be. Your checklist should include: check the site for low-hanging branches or obstacles on the ground, locate the electrical, water, and sewage hookups, pull your RV in close to the hookups and level it with blocks or stabilizing jacks if necessary, secure your rig by chalking the wheels, connect the electrical hookup, and switch your appliances to pull from this source of power instead of the battery or propane, attach your sewer hose to the drain hookup, be sure to wear gloves for this process, put out your awning, and set up the campsite. And finally, it says here, RV beginners have a lot to look forward to. RVing is a great way to travel and explore the outdoors. However, knowing the basics is important to have a stress-free trip. And that's what we all want, is to have a stress-free trip when we're traveling. And I wanted to share just a couple of unique things that can be found with Safeco Insurance Company as far as their RV program. There's a few additional things that can be added as far as options for coverage that you may not find on a homeowner's policy or in an auto policy. One of those is Mexico physical damage. Now, if you have a vehicle registered in the United States, most likely the coverage territory that you will find in your auto policy will be the United States, Canada, and its possessions and or territories. So essentially, your auto policy would cover you in the United States, Canada, United States, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and then all the other smaller, I believe Guam should be on the list too, because that's United States territory. But they will not cover Mexico. If you want to get coverage for your RV in Mexico, you would have to purchase a policy at the border from Mexico for coverage on your RV. Now, Safeco just recently added an option to allow your Safeco policy to cover the physical damage to your RV, camper trailer, travel trailer, fifth wheel, while driving around in Mexico. And it says here, vehicles with comprehensive and collision coverage may purchase coverage to include a loss that occurs in Mexico or while your vehicle is being transported between Mexican locations. There is a caveat here. It says liability insurance from a licensed Mexico insurance company must be in force at the time of loss. Deductibles for comprehensive and collision coverage shown on the declaration page apply. So as an additional endorsement, if you're going to be traveling to Mexico, checking out the Mexican ruins, whatnot, you can purchase a physical damage endorsement to cover your RV while you're traveling in Mexico. Now, keep in mind, it did say liability insurance from a licensed Mexico insurance company must be enforced at the time of loss. So the liability and medical is not covered, but the physical damage would be. So you would have to purchase a liability and medical policy at the border from a licensed Mexico insurance company. And then if you have this endorsement, if the vehicle is damaged in Mexico, you would have similar coverage to what you would have if the vehicle was damaged in the United States. Now, Safeco also offers a Optimum Plus package for their RV, and it would include things like accident forgiveness, only 3 years consecutive in force with us without fault accidents or violations is required on a policy level instead of 6 years. So if you have this as an RV policy, if you've had no tickets or at fault accidents in 3 years, you would get accident forgiveness for the first accident, so you wouldn't be charged for the first accident. With 3 years being lost, violation and accident free, versus 6 years on a standard auto policy. So that's a nice feature right there. Increased loss of income. If bodily injury applies to the policy, payment for loss of income due to attending a trial or hearing is increased to $400 per day. That's an interesting coverage. Next, the death benefits. For personal injury protection coverage applies to the policy, $2,000 per death, up to a total of $4,000 if you or a family member dies due to an auto accident. Tapes, records, discs, or other media, if you have comprehensive intercollision coverage, apply up to $500 worth of coverage for tapes, records, discs, or other media. Pet coverage is included with the Plus endorsement. It says here, coverage for injury or death to your dog or cat. If collision applies to the coverage, you get up to $500 for veterinary expenses if your pet is injured, or $500 if your pet dies as a result of a collision. So you get up to $500 for a vet bill, or $500 if your dog dies, or dog or cat dies. Comprehensive deductible waiver. If comprehensive coverage applies to the policy, the comprehensive deductible will be waived. So if you have a tree falls on top of the motorhome, damages it, that's considered a comprehensive claim. You got a $250 comprehensive deductible. If you purchase the Plus endorsement, that $250 deductible would not apply. Diminishing deductible. If collision coverage applies, $50 reduction is applied at every renewal, $100 per renewal for annual policy, up to a maximum of $500 until an at-fault accident is surcharged. Then depending on, say, 3 years down the road, you went accident-free, you've got a $500 deductible, you get in your first accident. Okay, number one, the accident, you got the accident forgiveness on the Plus endorsement, so you're not going to get charged for the accident, and you have a $500 deductible, but you've had the diminishing deductible for the past 3 years, so that deductible instead of $500 goes down to $200. Now with this accident, that just restarts again, so that you have to rebuild up that diminishing deductible. Same with the accident forgiveness. It's having an at-fault accident sets things at zero again, so you have to redo it. Non-owned trailer coverage. If comprehensive coverage or collision apply, the liability is increased to $3,000. Emergency expenses applies if you have comp or collision. Coverage for necessary expenses such as alternative transportation, meals, or lodging. Personal property coverage. If comprehensive intercollision coverage apply to the policy, coverage for certain types of personal property while located in the vehicle, subject to deductible. This is a big one here. Waiver of adjustment for depreciation or betterment. If comprehensive and collision coverage apply to the policy, the limit of liability is revised to remove any adjustment for physical condition and wear and tear when repairing or replacing property. Electronic lock and key replacement, deductible waiver. If comprehensive coverage applies, the replacement of electronic locks or electronic key replacement is waived. Worldwide coverage for physical damage and indirect loss of use of rental vehicles. If comprehensive coverage or collision coverage apply to the policy, subject to the policy provisions, including any applicable deductibles, physical damage coverage for vehicles that are rented internationally is covered up for 90 days. And again, that's physical damage, not liability or medical. So we gotta keep that straight here. So yeah, you definitely want to check that out. Not every carrier has like a plus endorsement. Safeco does, and you can go to safeco.com to get more information, maybe to find an agent in your area that can help you out with writing an RV policy for your motorhome or camper, trailer, travel trailer, fifth wheel. So it looks like we're way over time here. I do apologize for that. I guess this is to make up for last week with the lack of podcasts, so I apologize for that. We are from Marsilia and Vanderplough Insurance Agency, located in beautiful downtown Holland, Michigan. If you're anywhere in the Lake Michigan Lakeshore, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, 1-800-968-1497. Visit us on the web. If you're on a mobile phone or a tablet, you can go to m.hollandshometownagency.com. If you're on a desktop, go to mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. Shoot us an email, marsiliains@gmail.com. That's marsiliains@gmail.com. Got a weird claim. Surprised that the insurance company paid for it. Let us know. Shoot us an email, marsiliains@gmail.com. And at the end of summer, we'll put together a weird claims podcast, which I think would be pretty neat. So I want to thank you for tuning in each and every week to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. I am Matt, and I hope you have a good week.